Today is November 21st, 1984. The worship leader for the chapel service this morning is Dr. H.L. Casual, Jr., pastor of Hayes Barton Baptist Church in Raleigh.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His exceeding greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with timbrel and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The hymn is number 233, Come Ye Thankful People Come. We'll stand as we sing. Gracious God, who has filled our world with beauty, open our eyes to see your marvelous work all around us. May we pause in these moments to rejoice in your whole creation and to serve you with gladness. Grant that we may be able to finish what you have given us the will to begin. And above all, make us determined to love even at cost to our pride. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. The best way for me to introduce Dr. T.L. Cashwell this morning is to give a word of testimony. A few years ago, while I was serving as pastor of a church in Virginia, one of the finest families in our church moved to Raleigh. They looked all over the place for a church. Finally, on a visit back to Bristol, where I was serving, I said, "Where have you finally settled in a church?" They said that there was only one place that they really felt comfortable. That was Hayes Barton Baptist Church. I said, "Why?" The reason was simple. T.L. Cashwell was something special. And he still is. That kind of remark from the pew speaks at least as clearly as a list of academic degrees and denominational positions, all of which he has. Some of you will be particularly interested to know that he is vice chairman of the Southern Baptist Convention Annuity Board, and you may want to grab him after this service. One more item of interest before the choir sings and Dr. Cashwell preaches. T.L. Cashwell is an avid walker. He dons his sneakers and walks in Crabtree Valley Mall. He can tell you every mile marker in that mall. So if you happen to be shopping there and see a walker with his jaw set and a determined look on his face and a fast clip with his feet, the best advice I can give you is to get out of his way. He's probably working on Sunday's sermon.
Now would you listen to a few verses from both the Old Testament and the New. In the New Testament, we hear the words of the Apostle Paul as he spoke and wrote to his fellow Christians in Thessalonica, "Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks." If we go back to the Old Testament, to that book from which you have already heard, and turn to the 92nd division, you will find in the first two verses these words: "It is good to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto his holy name, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. I want to talk with myself and with you this morning on the eve of Thanksgiving Day concerning what I believe to be the sounds of thanksgiving, praise, and thanksgiving. If I were to ask you this morning a simple question, and the question would be for you to define as best you could, as carefully as you could, as succinctly as you could, the heart of the Christian faith, how would you respond? Most likely you, along with myself, would choose the simplistic way and say, why, belief in God and obedience to his will. That is true. But faith, trust, and obedience for the Christian should issue and lead to praise. Now, after 40 years, I still find that it is exciting, it is joyful to be a herald of the kind of faith that breaks forth unexpectedly in song. I think that there are times when in my Christian experience and in my pastorate, like that which was reported in the News and Observer only yesterday, that I stand on a mountain peak, even on the crest of a smoldering volcano, and I am on the moment of wanting to burst forth in smoldering embers of the fire of praise. I don't know whether you read Dennis Rogers or not, but yesterday morning he wrote about a friend of mine, a fellow member at Hayes Barton, Hap Hansen. Hap was a man who for a long time has been a Christian. At 59 years of age, he decided that he wanted to do something that was particularly his. And so he and his wife sold all that they had, put it together, and bought a little radio station in a nearby community. And he described it to me as being one that had never made it. He had asked his wife, "Do you think this is foolish?" And she encouraged him to go ahead. The deal was to be closed on the first day of this month. On October the 30th, Hap called me and said, "T.L., the doctor says I have lung cancer." All of his hopes, all of his dreams, all of that which he had placed around him suddenly disappeared. And I could not help but remember, because of the stalwartness of this man, the determination even now to go on with that effort, of remembering hearing him with a deep baritone voice singing a solo. When on life's billows you're tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. If you turn back to the Old Testament history, you find that with the Hebrews, the festivals, the holy days, were right at the center of their culture. The Psalms are always giving instruction to the musicians of the temple as to how they are to perform. You heard it in the invocation. You heard it in the call to worship. Praise him with a trumpet song. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the sound of cymbals, and if that isn't enough, praise him with loud-sounding cymbals. Can you imagine what it would be like if tomorrow or today this whole world of God's creation, the millions of people of all nations, races, of all stations in life, from every home, from the mountain cabin to the lakeside retreat, in the temple, in the synagogue, and in the sanctuary, would begin by pausing and lifting their voices in prayer to Almighty God. Even a simple prayer. Thank you, God, for the world so sweet. Thank you, God, for the food we eat. Thank you, God, for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. And the psalmist advises us that we need to be thankful in the morning. Well, now, most of us, for whom life has brought us in lines of pleasant places, we have no difficulty in singing praise to God. We can express it as an easy duty. We can be very much like that cartoon that appeared in a New Yorker about a decade ago. It showed a family gathered around the Thanksgiving table. The table was burdened and bludgeoned with all of its riches. You looked around and saw evidences of prosperity. The circle of the family was unbroken. And the kindly grandfather sat, and with folded hands and a quiet voice, he was depicted saying, "Shall we pray and give thanks?" Who wouldn't? Those of us who have had a good year, those of us for whom the school work is going well, those of us who know that our children are healthy, those of us who are surrounded by orderliness and happiness in the day, why shouldn't we? But suppose that I would do what the pagan may not be able to do. If I lift my voice not only in the daytime, but as the psalmist says, even at night. For dear friends, even on a Thanksgiving day that is set apart, and when you and I search with all that is within us to find even the meagerest of blessings for which to thank God, there are some things that must be left outside the door. Sickness, anxiety, tension, financial burdens, disappointments, death. Ere this day is ended, it will be my privilege to stand with a dear friend whose father has just died. And when that moment is ended, I then will go quietly to the home where there is a widow, a lady who lived only a block from me in my hometown, one with whom I shared 17 years ago when she, for the first time, and he, for the first time, were married, both in their later years. And after all that they had done for families, and having just completed the necessities of putting aside the responsibilities of a mother 90 years of age, who had just died and who had been a responsibility for so many years. They, thinking that all of God's blessings that had been poured upon them, now they could enjoy. Within 1 week, he died. And today, when I visit with her, I know, because she has already done so, she will tell me that she hates God. The night times come. And dear Christian friends, you know as well as I that the hallmark of our faith is when you and I can stand in the midst of that kind of an experience and we can say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." When were these psalms written? In the time of prosperity, when the crops were full, when the skies were blue, when the government was good? No. Many of them were written in exile, by the waters of Babylon, when the harps were hung in the willow tree, when the song of Zion could not be sung in a strange and foreign land. What was it that captured the Apostle Paul when he discovered the thorn in the flesh? Was it self-pity? Embitterment? No, it was a prayer. It didn't do any good for his friends to come and tell him that it was a blessing in disguise. He prayed that it would be removed. But with his face, he was satisfied when God said, "No, Paul, but my grace will be sufficient for you." Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, yes, out in the garden he prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But earlier, he took the cup and the bread, and he gave thanks. Don Fay shared this story of his own life. He left 5 children at home the night that he took Mary, his wife, to the hospital. It would be their 6th child. When he returned to the home, he went and awakened the oldest of the children and shared with her that she had a baby brother. But before her joy became so great, he also told her that her mother had died. They held each other and they wept together. And then Don went to his room, and with sightless, sleepless eyes, he lay awake, wishing that the morning would never come. Because there were still 4 children to tell, family. He does share with us, though, the circumstances and the adjustments that were to come. He tells about the neighbors and how they helped him. And then he said, "Months later, I just looked at myself and I realized all of the things that God had done for me. That he loved me and he cared for me." Can I share a truth? The greatest therapy of the Christian soul is a heart of gratitude. For a heart of gratitude can rob poverty, misery, disappointment, and death of most of its bitterness. A heart of ingratitude can destroy even the joy and the happiness and the power of God's blessing. Do you believe that? Do you practice that? Do you share that with those who are part of you? Remember, dear friends, that God is gladdened when we rejoice, because it confirms our faith in Him. It is our response to His grace, to Him who is our God, who shows us love every morning and faithfulness every night. May we pray. And so, our Father, our worship is ended. And now, in these quiet moments, we add to our singing of praise and our prayers for forgiveness and strength the simple gesture of placing our hands in Thine, going forth from this place to the adventures of this day and tomorrow, believing because of our experience that all of it will be good, for You will be in it today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.